It's time now for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Today, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by Lori Fisher, educator and raconteur, as his sole panelist today. And now here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Joanne, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. I have a head cold, so my voice is going to be lower and sexier this week than usual. And I think we should be doing the show from the hospital because Lori has bruises and I have a head cold, but no, we're doing it from home. So we'll give you the best show we can, even though it's just the two of us, but that's all right. There's more opportunity for you to call in. So we always see these things as an opportunity. And Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So of course, what we are looking for right now, especially today, is your participation. We would love to hear from you. This is a great time to call. It really is. Let me give you those numbers. That's area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or we have a toll-free number. Yes, really. That is 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. Also want to remind you, you can email us. We prefer you call because we enjoy talking to you, but if you want to email, that's fine too. That email address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one. mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Of course, you can hear us in live stream at kalw.org. And the podcast should be up in a reasonable amount of time, thanks to Joanne. And that will also be at kalw.org and many other places, but start with KALW. That would be appreciated. All right, all that being said, just to remind you of the numbers once more. Actually, it'll be about 30 more times, but for now, it's once more. 415-841-4134. We're toll-free, 866-798-8255. We're going to start with the round of introductions. It'll be pretty short because it's just the two of us. And here's the first. Abbott and Costello, Martin and Lewis, Ferranti and Teicher, Penn and Teller, even Bert and Ernie. These great show business duos are almost certainly not going to be joined by Rodriguez and Fisher. Speak for yourself. Though they will certainly try their best. We will.
Well, I'm half of the duo, so I am speaking for half of us. Anyway, I look forward to Rodriguez and Fisher working together. And to our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, the one upside of trying to sleep off a head cold this week is the luxury of not having to hear excerpts from any cliched commencement speech. You are the leaders of tomorrow.
That's right. The future lies before us, as I always say. And all right, we're going to be on the questioning with Lori Fisher.
All right. Well, I noticed with sadness that George Wendt, Norm of Cheers, passed away this week. Chicago guy like me. And I was looking up how many times he won the Emmy for Best Supporting Actor in a Comedy, and it was not many. But my question is this. 8 men have won that award, Best Supporting Actor in a Comedy, 3 times or more. Who were they?
I know John LaRoquette won a few times in a row.
He did. He won, let me see here. He won 3 times in a row, and be sure to mention the show. What show is he in?
Night Court.
Correct. You have the bell? We get the bell ourselves. Since there's 8 of them, I'll give you like 2 or 3 more chances.
Oh, I'm trying to think now.
And all of them are network shows except one. One was on, I think, HBO, but they're all well-known classic.
So Best Supporting Actor, not actress.
I might get, there's 4 more. I didn't want to give too many in the category. There's 4 women, but we're going to save them till later. Joanne is guessing Cloris Leachman, so we're saving women for later, but she is not one of them.
Okay.
But just men for now.
All right.
A lot of pressure.
I had to think about that, I think.
Okay.
All right, just give the question once more, if you would.
So to honor George Wendt's passing, I guess this is honoring. I'm looking for men who have won the Emmy, Award for Best Supporting Actor in a Comedy three or more times. There's eight of them. Dana got John Larroquette for Night Court. He won it three times in a row. Somebody won, and four times total. Somebody won five times, including four in a row. And then all of them are well known. And as I said, they're all pretty classic shows, and they all were on network TV except for one of them.
Did David Hyde Pierce win?
He did. What show was he in?
Well, Frasier, yeah.
Yes, yeah. And he also won, let me see, twice, two times in a row and four times total.
Okay.
Very good. Okay.
All right.
So we're looking for six more callers.
All right. If you want to give another question, you can do that. Because we're just the two of us here.
All right. Let me go to my second question. Well, my students who are transferring and anybody who's in the world of transferring to a four-year university or starting in a four-year university is obviously concerned about tuition. So I'm only interested now in what it costs to go to a state university on average. California is right in the middle at $8,600 a year average, including the UC system, CSU system, and even the community colleges. Which states is state tuition highest? Which three? And which three are lowest as far as what it costs if you're an in-state resident to go to those schools? The three highest and three lowest, with California in the middle at $8,600.
So when you say a state university, are you including the university, say the University of California versus the San Francisco State, or what?
They're in California, they're both in there. So the UC system, Berkeley and UCLA, is combined with San Francisco State, San Jose State. That's why the average is lower. I think they even include community colleges, which even lowers that. But it's all the ones that have built-in state support. So the state name is generally in the title. And sometimes, I think in New York, there's a two-tiered system too. And other places, just one tier.
Okay. All right. Leave that out. And I'll do a couple questions here too, and then we'll see if we can take a call. Just to remind you, the two numbers to join us are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134, or toll free 866-798-8255. All right, let's see here. This Academy Award-winning actor has been the voice of the yellow peanut M&M since the late 1990s.
Wow.
Who is this Academy Award-winning actor?
In the late 90s.
Yeah, still today, get the job. This Academy Award-winning actor has been the voice of the yellow peanut M&M since the late 1990s.
So are all the M&Ms voiced by different people?
I believe so. Yes.
Yeah. Boy, and when did this guy win the Academy Award? In the 90s?
I think about 10 years. Well, I'm not going to say exactly, but within the last 20 years.
Okay. So he got the M&M gig before the
he
Oscar.
Did. Yes, he did.
And this person is obviously super well known. Do we think of this person as more in the comedy realm or more the dramatic actor realm?
Both.
I'm all I could do is try to guess people. And it was for best actor, not supporting actor, correct?
No, it was for supporting actor.
Best supporting actor.
All right, think it over.
Okay.
Think it over. So once more, this Academy Award-winning actor has been the voice of the yellow peanut M&M since the late 1990s. And yes, he won the Academy Award after he became the voice of the yellow peanut, but he kept that job.
Yeah, probably pays well, right?
Probably does
forever. Yeah. Yeah.
National commercials tend to pay very well. Second question. What well-known children's book author used to write the jokes on the Bazooka Joe gum wrappers? What very well-known children's book author used to write those terrible jokes on the Bazooka Joe gum wrappers?
All right. American?
Yes, American.
Well, I'll start with somebody I think is very funny who might have done something quirky like that. How about Theodore Geisel, a.k.a. Dr. Seuss?
No, after that.
And You mean they became a children's author after Dr. Seuss?
Yes, yes, yes. So what well-known children's book author used to write the jokes on the Bazooka Joe gum wrappers? Still, I think this person is still alive. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
And they're better known as a children's book writer than a Bazooka Joe writer.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, as anybody would be. Yeah. So, yes. All right, I'm going to give you one more here. As you know, as anybody who's flown out of San Francisco knows, the airport code for San Francisco is SFO. So I'm going to give you the codes for airports. These are all in the United States. And I want you to tell me what the airport is. Now, I should say that sometimes the first letter of the code will be the first letter of the city's name, but sometimes it won't. So keep that in mind. And I know our audience is a very traveled audience, so they'll probably know some of these. So again, these are airport codes in the United States, as in SFO. So here's number one, F-A-T.
F-A-P, like in
F-A-T, Peter? F-A-T, as in Tom. Okay. Number two, I-A-D. Number three, M-C-O. Number four, HNL. Number five, MSV.
Like in victory?
Okay. Yes. Number six, CVG. Number seven, PDX. Number eight, MSN. And number nine is CLT. So again, these are airport codes in the United States, as in SFO for San Francisco. Sometimes the first letter might translate into the city and sometimes it won't. Just keep that in mind. Number one, FAT. Number two, IAD. Number three, MCO. Number four, HNL. Number five, MSV. That's a V. Number six, CVG. Number seven, PDX. Number eight, MSN. Number nine, CLT. There you go. And then the two first questions. This Academy Award-winning actor has been the voice of the yellow peanut M&M since the late 1990s. And what well-known children's book author used to write the jokes on the Bazooka Joe gum wrappers?
So on the airports, I have two guesses, and maybe Joanne has some. Is IAD Dulles?
It is indeed. Very good.
Okay. Yeah. And then Joanne is guessing, let me see, I just saw her guess here. She is guessing PAX is Philadelphia. I don't think it is.
It's PDX, and no, it's not Philadelphia.
But it's HNL. When I looked at that immediately, I saw Honolulu.
That is correct. Honolulu.
Okay.
Yes, that's correct. So HNL is Honolulu. As I say, sometimes the first letter will translate and sometimes it will not. But yes, IAD is Dulles, DC, and HNL is Honolulu. Very good. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, I was just working out the math. This is simple. If there were just two initials for those codes, it would just be 26, because there's 26 letters in the alphabet, 26 squared, and that's 600-something. There'll only be 600-something combinations. But having three letters increases it to over 17,000 combinations. Just something to think about as you're thinking about those. Those are for your luggage bags, right, the three-letter code. There's 17,500 combinations. Anyway, just a boring little fun fact. Here's what I want to... okay, are you ready?
Yes.
I'm going down a list. And this is in chronological order, so you don't have to guess it. Let me just give you a list of names. Monroe.
And what are we, We looking for something specific, or you won't tell us till the end?
You just make observations about it and see what you come up with, because I found some. I know what they all have in common, or what this group have in common or whatever, and see what you come up with. Okay, ready? Monroe, Tyler, Buchanan, Garfield, Taft, Harding, Hoover, Nixon, Ford, Bush, and Biden, and that's the younger Bush. Just make observations about those presidents. And they're all in chronological order, so there's no question about that. What observations did you make about them?
Wait a minute. So are you looking for an answer here?
There are things they have in common and things that just make observations about it. You'll see what I mean. Like the beginning are all 19th century, right? I said Monroe, Tyler, Buchanan, and what was the last one?
Garfield.
Well, first what of all, a lot of common? Their first names begin with the letter J.
Well, James you know, or... Good. James is the most common one.
Yes.
And in fact, before
Joe Biden
is another word, James, yes. Madison, but it's not comprehensive.
James Madison, yes. Garfield, James Garfield, yes. So I guess I'm just trying to figure out if you're looking for something in particular here, rather than making observations. I can make lots of observations about.
Yeah, all of their names begin with a consonant.
In the 19th century, well, let me start you off. Those presidencies are 5, 10, 15, 20, as far as the order. Just an observation about it, but that's not it. And then in the next one you go to Taft, Harding, Hoover, and then in the modern era you get Nixon, Ford, the younger Bush, and Biden. Do you know what they have in common?
I'm at a loss. How about you, Dana?
Nixon, Ford, Bush, Biden. So I assume it's Bush is 2000 and Biden is.
No, it makes sense to look it makes sense to look at the newest ones, because it would be a visual thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So is this something to do with the year that they were elected?
No.
No. All right. Well, why don't you just tell us then?
Okay. Well, as far as let me give you two other presidents that stick out from this. Are you ready? One is Abraham Lincoln and the other is James Madison.
I don't know what to do.
They are 50 years apart.
No, Madison is the shortest, 5'4".
All right.
And okay. Lincoln's the tallest, and all these others are supposedly exactly 6 feet tall. Did you know, if you think about it, exactly 6 feet tall. But except one thing, and you may know this, that it also goes down, if you Google it, that there's another president who's listed as 6 feet, 4 inches tall besides Lincoln. Do you know who it is? And this one you would know from seeing him on TV.
LBJ?
That's right.
Okay.
Except in reality, when you look at it, he's a half inch shorter than Lincoln, but he's a tall president.
Right.
Yep.
But anyway, and so that's something to take note of, because we're living in the modern era. What do these presidents have in common? But Taft, Harding, Hoover. Did you know? No. How would you know they're 6 feet tall? That's kind of like pre-TV. If you see them every, you knew that the. That Reagan. Oh, by the way, the current president is 6 feet 3 inches tall.
So he says.
And
So he says.
Right. You never know.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call. We would love to hear from you. We really would. And those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. So we have some emails here, and Rita says the airport codes. Which ones does she have? Give me one second. CLT is Charlotte, and that is correct. CLT is Charlotte, and PDX is Portland, Oregon. Those are both good. Very good. Okay, good job. And let's see, Tim is wondering on the supporting actors, Emmy, three or more. Neil Patrick Harris in How I Met Your Mother, is that one?
He is not one, unfortunately.
He's not one. Okay. And let's see.
He might have been the lead actor on that show. I'm not sure, but
I don't know.
Know, and he's not on the list of supporting actor victories, three or more.
And Rita is also wondering if the most expensive state universities, one is in Hawaii.
No, surprisingly not. It's not in the top five.
Okay. All right. And Laura, if you have another question, go ahead.
Okay. Let's see here. All right. I was, for some reason, I was thinking about Jerry Nachman, of all things, which I do once in a while, or our former friend and panelist. I was looking up things on the Ed Sullivan Show. So these are Ed Sullivan-related questions. I'm going to give you a category, and I want to know which performer appeared the most times on the Ed Sullivan Show. I have a few categories to go. Which comedy team, two men, and which comedy team, man and woman? That's the first two categories. Which stand-up comedian, which opera singer and pop singer, female in both cases, which ventriloquist, and which fictional character? So I'm looking for a comedy team, both men and women and two men, stand-up comedian, opera singer, female pop singer, ventriloquist, and fictional character. Okay, all pretty well-known, I think, even to this day.
All right, so once more.
A comedy team, two comedy teams. One is a man and a woman, and one is two men. A stand-up comedian, in this case, it's a male. Opera singer, female, and a female pop singer, the lead in each category. Ventriloquist and fictional character.
Fiction. Like,
it'd be like a puppet or a cartoon character.
Oh,
well,
the fictional
like
character must be Topo Gigio.
It is, with 50 appearances. Give yourself a bell on low-hanging Topo Gigio.
And the comedy team, if you say it's a man and a woman, I'll say Stiller and Mira.
Yeah, they are the mixed team. They were on 36 times. And I'm also looking for a comedy team that was on almost 60 times, the most appearances. It's two men. So that's a different answer, of course.
All right. And the individual comic you said is a male, right?
It is.
How about Alan King?
No. Alan King is in the top five, but he's not number one.
All right. Is this somebody who's still around?
Probably. I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Read that out.
I think quite a few of these are probably not around. So we're looking for a comedy team, two men, stand-up comedian, happens to be a male, opera singer, female pop singer, and ventriloquist.
All right. And the numbers to join us with a question of your own or to answer one of ours, area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, how about Sherry Lewis and Lamb Chop for ventriloquist duo?
This sounds like Fred from West Virginia, is it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Am I right about Sherry Lewis?
You are not right about Sherry Lewis and not right about Lamb Chop. I'm sorry to tell you.
Okay. All right. Now, in the background, I'm sitting on my back deck in West Virginia. Can you hear a noise?
No.
No.
Dana?
Nope. I know it's not
Dima. There's a humming noise, and it's the 17 Year Cicada.
Oh,
and
really?
Lori might remember them from Chicago, maybe 4 or 5 17 Year cycles ago. But what color are their eyes, cicadas?
That's a good question. Are they yellow?
No. They are humming in the background, and a musician friend of mine tested it, and it's in E-flat.
That's funny.
Tone.
What color? And, you asked what color are their eyes? Is that what you asked?
Yeah, of a cicada. Lori hasn't seen them for several
years. This is the kind of thing you ask in a bar at 2 a.m.
I think Fred has actually done that.
Okay,
not sure.
I get about their red bell, please. And I read an article by David Brooks last week in the New York Times called "Can We Please Stop Lying About Obama?" And I learned a few things. What is the number one auto exporting state in the United States? You each get two guesses.
What is the number one auto exporting state?
Yeah, export. That state exports cars to 190 countries around the world.
Is it Ohio?
No.
Is it Tennessee or Georgia? Is it one of the?
There's two more. Those are two more guesses that are wrong.
Okay. All right.
We're good at those.
You get one more guess.
How about California?
Okay, another bell for me. It's Alabama.
Alabama. Yeah, I figured it was
number one
non-union things
in the United States, non-union state.
Right.
Okay, Go ahead.
I don't think you get a bell for answering your own questions. We'll have to look at the rules about this.
Yeah. Okay. There are how many manufacturing jobs are open in the United States looking for employees? His point was, we have plenty of manufacturing jobs here in the United States, but nobody really wants to do them. 500. Oh, excuse me. I gave you the answer.
Is it 500,000?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, great.
Okay, and more question. Which of the following has the highest average wages? Britain, Canada, Germany, or Mississippi?
The way this question is formatted makes me think it's actually Mississippi, but I don't think so. I don't know. Germany has very high average wages.
You take one and I'll take the other.
I'll take Germany, okay. I think.
Wrong.
Okay.
Mississippi.
Mississippi, that's the theme. The jobs have moved to the South.
See, I fell on my sword.
And, that's okay. Thank you.
Neoliberalism hasn't been as bad as it's been made out to be. But that's all for now.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Fred.
Oh, what is the sound of the cicada? Where does it come from?
I'm sorry. I didn't understand the question. What?
What cicada, male or female, is making this noise?
Oh, isn't it the male?
The call. You each get one guess.
Go ahead.
What?
I'll say male.
I'll go with female.
Male is correct.
Female.
It's their mating call.
Yeah.
Nice.
And right. They've been inactive for 17 years, so they're ready to get it on.
They are.
It seems.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
For now. Thanks for the great show.
Thank you. Are you you're listening to Minds Over Matter? This is a strange show today. You're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. I hope you're enjoying the show. We are too, actually. And the two numbers to join us, area code 415-841-4134, or toll free 866-798-8255. Panels today, that would be Lori Fisher, teacher at Dabo Valley College. And I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. It's just the two of us today. Thanks to Joanne Marr helping us on board. And I should say that you are listening to 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. And we do have some people on the line, so let's get to one of those calls right now. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hello. All these years, and I never knew there was a Bell Book of Rules.
Not to do we. Lori makes these things up as we go along, I think.
There are.
So, I have some wild guesses here. For Ed Sullivan, how about Smothers Brothers?
No. It's a really good guess. They're on a lot, but not this much.
Okay. For the Bazooka Joe writer, could it be Maurice Sendak?
No, that's a good guess too.
That's
actually
a great guess. That should be the answer.
That should be the answer. Yeah, but no, it's not. It's not Maurice Sendak.
Oh well, I guess a Nobel Prize today.
No.
anything else? I do have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
In the northeast of this country, the states tend to have state capitals that are close together in the alphabet, like Albany, New York, Boston, Massachusetts, Concord, New Hampshire. What two states that share a border have state capitals that are farthest away in the alphabet?
Ooh. Is there a particular part of the country you're talking about here? Or I'm sorry, did you say this was also in the east?
Or you did not? I did not say. Okay. It could be anywhere in the country. I just noticed that in the northeast, they're close together.
How about...
They're not.
Pierre, so Dana, what?
Oh, Pierre and Bismarck. North and South Dakota.
Not the most.
Dana, help me. If Austin is one, what states border Texas that are going to be far away from? Nope. Okay, don't go there.
All right. No.
I thought it'd be an A or a
give
B.
Give us a general hint on what part of the country it's in.
Oh,
Southeast.
How about
Southeast?
How about Atlanta and Tallahassee?
Tallahassee.
You got it. Yeah, that's it.
Good question.
Good job.
Very good.
Thank you, guys. Good show.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
And all right, let me give you another question here. Let's see. Where are we here? Lori, why don't you go over what you have open so far, and then I'll go over mine, and then we'll move on.
All righty. I was looking to honor George Wendt. Which men have won the Emmy for Best Supporting Actor in a Comedy 3 or more times? We have John LaRoquette and David Hyde Pierce. So I'm looking for 6 more. I'm looking for in-state college tuition for state universities and colleges. Which are the 3 highest and which are the 3 lowest? We don't have any of them. California is sort of in the middle, actually a little on the low side at $8,600. And then I asked some categories on appearances on the Ed Sullivan Show. We have the ones we have is Stiller and Mirror with a comedy team, a male-female comedy team, and Topo Gigio, the fictional character. We are missing the comedy team that's 2 men, stand-up comedian, happens to be a male, opera singer, female, pop singer, who's a woman, and a ventriloquist. I'm surprised no one has that. And that's what I have out there. How about you?
Carlton is wondering on that, Lori, if the stand-up comedian, the single stand-up comedian, the male, is Jackie Mason.
It is not Jackie Mason.
It's not Jackie Mason. He also wonders whether the comedy team is Ronan Mart. I know they were on
about 30 times. This comedy team was on 58 times.
58 times.
Okay. Yeah.
How about Burns and Schreiber?
Not Burns and Schreiber.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Getting close.
And let's see. Yes. Do you see that Joanne is wondering if Edgar Bergen was the ventriloquist?
It's not Edgar Bergen.
Is it Paul Winchell by any chance?
Not Paul Winchell and Jerry Mahoney. Right. That's who I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
And how about your outstanding questions?
Yes, here we go. So what Academy Award-winning actor has been the voice of the yellow peanut M&M since the late 1990s? So they started it before he won the Academy Award, but he's still doing it today. And what very well-known children's book author used to write the jokes on the Bazooka Joe gum wrappers? Those terrible jokes. And yes, he's quite well-known as a children's book author. Also, I gave you some airport codes, as in SFO is the code for San Francisco International Airport. The ones we have left are FAT. These are all in the United States, by the way, so just keep them. And the first letter doesn't always translate to the first letter of the city. The airport codes I'm looking for all in the United States are FAT, MCO, MSV, that's MSV, CVG, let's see, we already got Portland, and MSN. Write that out. So, and...
Is the Bazooka Joe author still alive? Do you know?
I believe so. I believe so.
Because that would he or she would have done that writing in the 40s and 50s. Is that right?
You know, I didn't look up to see exactly what years he wrote, but it could have been after that.
But once they had success,
the books that he's well known for are not that old. I would say in the last 20 years, roughly. And they're very popular children's books. It's a series of them. Let's see here. All right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is this me?
It is you, yes.
Oh, hi. Okay, so my I have two guesses, and one of them is for the Ventriloquist Act. Oh, this is Sophie, by the way, from San Francisco.
Hi, Sophie.
And,
hi, Sophie.
My first guess is it Charlie McCarthy?
It is not Charlie McCarthy. It is, that's a great guess because he was on a lot with Edgar Bergen, who is his voice, but not him.
He was always on with Edgar Bergen.
I hope so.
They wouldn't be separated, yes.
Yeah. Good guess.
Okay, well, my second guess is for one of the most expensive state universities. And I'm going to guess Vermont is one of the most expensive.
You are. It is number one. Very good. Yeah. At $17,600, about double what California is. Very good, Sophie. How'd you know that?
I have a big genius intuition.
Oh, that's you sure do.
Yes, you do.
And excellent. I would like to shout out my sister, Emery, who listens every Saturday from her apartment in the Mission. I love you.
Well, thank you. Thank you to both, to you and your sister. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Emily, you should call in. You.
Yes.
She does.
All right, good. Well, thank you. I appreciate the call. And Lori, I think it's your turn to throw in a question if you want.
I think it's yours, by the
way. Is it mine? Okay.
It is.
All right, here we go. So I have I was looking at Google Trends, which keep track of trends online for just about every possible subject, and they have come up with the favorite book genre in each state based on Google Trends.
Book genre, okay.
So romance is the number one genre in 22 different states. But history is the number one book search genre in one state, and mystery is the number one Google genre search in one state. So what I want are the states. So what is the number one state? What is the only state, I should say, where history is the number one Google trend for book searches? And what is the state where mystery is the number or the number one search for a trend?
Well, such an interesting question. All right. So in history, I'm thinking out loud here. I think it's going to be an East Coast state. I think it's going to be a smallish state. So I'm going to, how about Massachusetts?
Massachusetts is correct for history.
Wow. I want a bell on that one. All right. Yeah. And mystery. Let me add that. It sort of made sense to me that a small Eastern state would be history. Is there any sense to the mystery one? Like a lot of mystery novels are set there, or there's a lot of noir
I would say
stuff?
Not more than most other states. Well, no, I don't think you can look at it quite that way.
Okay. So this is more of a guess than even the first one.
Right.
I'll say Illinois.
Not Illinois.
Okay.
So what state is the mystery, the top genre search for books on Google. So
interesting. Okay. That,
yes. And the two numbers to join us, area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. This is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We certainly enjoy hearing from you. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, this is Rashad, somewhere in the middle of Haiti on the way back to San Francisco.
All right, be careful. Guesses. Be careful driving. All right, go ahead.
Absolutely. I got a few guesses. One of them is a twofer on the Academy Award George Wendt question and a yellow M&M. Could that be both John Goodman?
Oh, what an interesting question. Or interesting answer, as I say. No, it's not John Goodman.
And he's not on the supporting actor comedy either. Good guess, though. That would have been great.
All right. And I got sniped on Vermont, Massachusetts. But in terms of the airport codes, I believe CVG is Cincinnati because I flew out of there once.
You are right. CVG is Cincinnati, Ohio. Very good.
And is MSN Minneapolis, by any chance?
Which one? I'm sorry. Say that once more.
MSN, is that Minneapolis?
It is not Minneapolis, no.
Admittedly, I've never watched Ed Sullivan. I am one of the younger folks. But I want to guess Senor Wentz's ventriloquist.
Say it again?
Senor Wentz, he's wondering if Senor Wentz has his ventriloquist.
Another good guess, because he was on a lot, you know. It's all right. I'm glad you know him, but it's not Senor Wentz's.
I just remember watching a lot of UHF and infomercials for Ed Sullivan box sets.
Yeah.
I agree with you, and you're not the only one to wonder about that, too. It's probably what I would have guessed it had I even thought of it, but yes.
Well, I would say he's funnier and better than the one who was on the most, in my humble opinion. We'll see who it was when somebody gets it. Somebody will.
Well, I'm tapped out on the answer, but a couple questions for you. I've been on an Elizabeth Taylor movie kick lately, and I also remember a lot of commercials growing up as a kid and seeing all of her soft lens fragrance commercials. And I wanted to ask you,
yes.
plus or minus two, how many fragrances did Elizabeth Taylor create or endorse, or whatever you want to call her affiliation with fragrances?
Well, it's that Diamonds one. What was that called? Something Diamonds.
There are a lot of names and a lot of sub-names.
If it's plus or minus two, that's going to be quite a few, right? You want a number.
I want a number.
Right?
Well, yeah, plus or minus two.
I'll go with eight.
A bit low.
So these are all fragrances, correct?
Correct. And it's done from a general search on, I believe, the leading fragrance site on frankrandica.com. There could be some that aren't listed there, but quite a few.
All right. But there's White Diamonds. That's the Elizabeth. That's the one I was trying to think of.
And she has many more. She has more than 10.
Yeah, I know. Not being much of a perfume person, it's hard for me to remember. I think there was one called Passion. Is that right?
There was, to my knowledge, but again, this includes main brands like Diamonds, Passion, and then there was sub-brands for men and women, and spin-offs as well, hence the high number. Maybe I'm being a bit too pedantic here, but I'm happy to give you the answer.
No, this is not much of my area of expertise, unfortunately. But I, as much as I like Elizabeth Taylor, but I'm afraid White Diamonds and Passion are the only two that I could think of.
Well, give a number though. Let's guess. The
oh,
number.
How many? Oh,
yeah. And it's more than 10.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. I mean, I can't imagine it's more than 15. Is it really?
19.
It's more than 15.
19.
Oh, man. Wow. Well, I hope she made a lot of money off of that.
She did.
All right, good.
And one last question. I know you've been asked about portmanteaus and, combination words in the past. The two that come to mind wanted to ask in a longer question when I'm not driving are, what do the portmanteaus taxicab and Velcro, what are the words that comprise those portmanteaus?
I didn't quite hear. I mean, I heard the taxicab and Velcro, but I didn't quite hear the rest of that. I'm sorry.
Velcro and taxicab are both portmanteaus, meaning they're a combination of two words. What are the combination of words for taxicab and Velcro?
So two different answers.
What is taxicab a portmanteau of, and what is Velcro a portmanteau of? Correct. Two different answers.
Yeah. I don't. Is Velcro, is the first word velvet?
It is.
Okay. And the crow part, what would that be? Velvet and crochet.
Yes, it is.
Maybe. Oh, very good. Right. Very good, Larry.
All right. You take the other one, Dan. Taxi cab. Taxidermy? No. That's funny.
Maybe in the south.
Give a hint. Can you give us a hint?
I'm trying to think. Yeah.
I can't
give you a hint because it'll give away the answer.
Yeah. Not cabaret. Cabin? Is it the second word, cabin?
No, wait a minute. Let me think about this. So taxi cab, is taxi short for, say, taxi meter or something like that?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
that's
good.
It is. Yep.
Good.
And is cab cabin?
It is not.
Not cabin. Is it, is, so is, I'm trying to think, C-A-B. Cabriolet, for instance?
You got it.
Oh, good.
Nice.
Good. All right. Thank goodness I got that.
Since a few weeks ago, and Dana, you were called out for not giving enough bells, I think you've been doing a good job for it since. So
thank you.
True on the ball.
He's recovered.
Thank you very much.
He's recovered.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your call. I appreciate that, by the way. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care.
I think Joanne says we have more callers, right?
I know, we do. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call. Just the two of us today. We'll take as many calls as we can. That's 415-841-4134. Or toll free, 866-798-8255. Laura, if you have a quick question, you can throw it in now.
I do. It's an odd one. It has to do with college admissions. Okay, the highest admission rate to UC Berkeley is a high school in San Francisco. Might be private, might be public. I want to know which high school in San Francisco has by far the highest admission rate to Berkeley. It's 39%, which is really high. What high school? It's well known. Joanne is guessing Balboa High School. It's not Balboa.
So it's not Balboa. So you said it could be a private school.
It could be.
You mean you don't know, or you're just leaving?
I know. I just want people to think of the expanse of high schools. We have lots of San Francisco listeners. I don't think we have many high school listeners. We might call in with high school.
What is that? Is it Star of the Sea or something like one of those?
I don't know. Star at that one. It's not that. Chicken of the Sea. It's not
Chicken
that.
Of the Sea. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so is it Lowell?
You know, Lowell is the one I thought people would guess. Lowell's admission rate is 16%. This school's is 39%. So 39. Not Lowell.
Huh. Yeah. Okay. All right. Leave that out.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
It's Tom in Southern California. Hi.
Hi, Tom.
Tom. Is the high school maybe Sacred Heart?
It's not Sacred Heart. Excellent guess.
Okay. Or probably not St. Ignatius, but I'll guess
it's
it anyway.
It's not St. Ignatius. It's not.
Okay. Okay, and then Dana, on the book search for mystery, I'll guess Florida because retirees love reading that stuff.
There's a great deal of logic to that, but it's wrong. So, yeah, I understand your reasoning.
As logic frequently is, yeah.
Yeah, my logic is generally wrong. is the yellow M&M, is that J.K. Simmons?
It is J.K. Simmons, yes.
Oh,
yes. The Academy Award-winning actor who has been the voice of the yellow peanut M&M since the late 1990s is J.K. Simmons. Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, I think he got that because of his Oz performance, I think. Oh. That's not quite right. let's see. The... Is the opera singer, just because I have no idea, is it Beverly Sills for the
Sullivan Show? Not Beverly Sills. Not a lot, but not 41 times.
And Bazooka Joe, writer, I'm sure this is probably wrong, but it kind of fits. It's not Thomas Pynchon, is it?
It is not Thomas Pynchon. Wouldn't that be great if it was, actually?
One of the great children. And Thomas Pynchon's not a children's author, right?
Yeah.
That would be
wonderful. Children's author. Oh, okay. Well, is it R.L. Stine?
It is R.L. Stine, yes.
Oh,
excellent.
Yes, okay. It is R.L. Stine, who wrote the Goosebumps series.
Yeah, Lemony Snicket.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And then I got a question about a one of my favorite films, a classic, I guess a modern classic horror film, but it's, I wonder if you can tell me the name of it. It starts out with a complete orchestral playing of the Star Spangled Banner.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's the opening scene? Like we see the actors listening to it?
Yeah, before you see anything, even before you see any of the actors, there's a full playing of the Star Spangled Banner.
Does this have something to do with the... is this being played on TV?
Yes.
On a television. So in the old days, before we had 24-hour everything, they used to play the Star Spangled Banner at the end of the day before the TV went off. So is that something to do with it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is a horror movie or a thriller?
Yep. Also notable for being a horror movie in which no one dies or really even gets hurt.
No one dies.
So is one of the characters falling asleep in front of the TV? Is that what's happened at the beginning?
Yeah.
What is that one where the little girl gets sucked into the TV?
Poltergeist.
Poltergeist. Is it Poltergeist?
It is. It's Poltergeist. That's right.
Oh, wow. Very good. A guy I went to high school with wrote the screenplay, so...
Oh,
it's a little side knowledge. Mark Victor and Mike Grace. Yep.
Oh, nice. Okay, yeah. And no one dies in it except for a bird. And in the film, the dog is named after a Saturday Night Live character.
Oh, I don't know who that is. No, I mean, I don't recall.
Yeah, that one might be hard.
What year was the film? In the 80s?
Yeah, 82, I believe, was the year it came out.
So Saturday Night Live character in 82. It's pretty early. Give us a hint on the character.
The character obviously was before that, was one of the original cast members, a Dan Aykroyd character. I'll just give it because it'd be hard to get. It's E-Buzz is the name of the dog.
E-Buzz?
E-Buzz, right. Miller. Right. He used to do the infomercials where he would.
Oh, that's
where
right.
He would sell the
Bass-O-Matic,
broken glass,
yeah.
No, he was kind of the slimy guy. Yeah.
Right. Oh, thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Bye bye. And so we have some emails here. Paul Morse is wondering on the Emmy question that you had, is Don Knotts one?
Don Knotts is number one.
Right. He won five in a row, he says. Is that true?
Well, he won five. He won three in a row, took a break, and then won two in a row.
Okay.
So that was it, and all job, for the Andy Griffith Show. So he's the number one. Big time bell for that. Excellent.
All right. And Jane is wondering about Waylon and Madam. I don't think she meant Waylon Jennings, but yeah.
Yeah, they're not
the Ed Sullivan Show.
They're not the chief ventriloquist pair. Good right. guess.
Okay.
I remember them. Yeah.
Zach was wondering about the Bazooka Rider. Was that Lemony Snicket? No, it was R.L. Stine. And Robin was wondering the comedians on Ed Sullivan, Burns and Allen. No, I don't think so.
They might have been on. I don't remember, but they weren't on the most.
And she was wondering if the air code for did I say MSV? Yes, MSV is Memphis. It is not Memphis. And Christina is wondering, well, she's a travel agent, so I'll give her credit for giving some of the right answers.
Yeah.
But I'll, But since we're getting pretty close to it, she did know some of them. So FAT is indeed Fresno. That is correct. Yeah. And MCO is indeed Orlando. And CVG is indeed Cincinnati. And MSN is Madison, Wisconsin. So
that looks
but she
like
was Madison. A travel agent, so she's going to know these things. And all right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey there, it's Danny and Sandra, the Happy Albanians.
Hi. Hey, you're on late.
Take it in. How's it? All right.
So,
okay, we got sniped, seriously.
Tom, as always, took lots of my answers. But for your Emmy question, I don't think anybody has guessed the slightly maligned or actually greatly maligned now. He ruined his own reputation. I would say Michael Richards from Seinfeld.
Michael Richards from Seinfeld? Yes. Excellent. And yes, he is previously and probably currently maligned. Played Kramer. Very good.
Kind of rightfully. But, what do we know? We don't know him. Dana, I think it's University High School.
No, is that's it? My question. It wasn't. It's not University High School.
All right.
For the highest admission rate.
Admissions to Berkeley?
They don't have the most admissions, and they don't have the highest percentage, believe it or not. They aren't even close.
I am surprised. I was so sure I got that. I went to their decorator showcase this week. Right.
Okay. The other Best Supporting Emmy?
How about Ed Asner or Ted Knight?
Yeah, Ed Asner for the Lou Grant Show, definitely.
Absolutely.
Won three times. Very good.
All right.
But not Ted Knight.
All right.
Ted Knight.
And the two Ed Sullivan guesses we got that weren't sniped, stand-up comedian, could it have been Frank Gorshin?
No, not Frank Gorshin.
Oh, that's good.
But Frank Gorshin was.
And Dana, we really thought it was Senior Wentz as well as you.
Yeah,
so,
right. Yeah, well.
And it should have been, but it wasn't.
Petula Clark for the pop singer.
Not Petula Clark. I don't think.
Oh, well. That just shows how old we are. I think, fun fact, wasn't Frank Gorshin on the same show as the Beatles?
I think he was.
I think he was on early in the show before the Beatles.
All right. Well, that's it for this time. We'll save our music question for Josh.
Yeah, good show. Feel better, both of you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it. Take care. All right. Time to clean up here. I should say that we have some emails. Tristan is wondering if the high school with the highest Cal admission is Lick Wilberding.
It's not Luke Wilmerding.
Okay, and Rita is wondering if it's Asawa School of the Arts.
It's not Asawa School of the Arts.
All right, and Carlton was wondering about Lowell. Yes. So anyway, we're going to clean all of that up here, and Lori, we'll start with you.
The high school, believe it or not, is Mission High School, which has this great program, 39% admission rate into Berkeley. The highest state schools for tuition, for in-state tuition, besides Vermont, which I call it, or New Hampshire and Pennsylvania, and the lowest are Florida, these are the cheapest, Wyoming, and Nevada. As far as the Emmys go, the ones that we did not get, no one got Art Carney, who won for both the Jackie Gleason Show and the Honeymooners, Brad Garrett for Everybody Loves Raymond, and the one that was on HBO, I think, was Jeremy Piven for Entourage, and the ones we didn't get for Ed Sullivan. The comedy team, believe it or not, this surprised me, was Simon & Schuster. The stand-up comedian who beat out Myron Cohn is Jack Carter, was on the most times. The opera singer is Roberta Peters. The female pop singer is Connie Francis. And the ventriloquist, believe it or not, Ricky Lane and Velvel. Kind of a talking
dog. Just a slight correct. I think you mean Wayne & Schuster, not Simon & Schuster.
Oh, did I say Simon & Schuster? Yeah, definitely. Okay. They're excellent publishers, but these are their cousins, Wayne & Schuster. Another great team. Yeah, thanks for the correction.
All right. So J.K. Lane, just to repeat, J.K. Simmons was the actor who plays the Academy Award-winning actor who plays the Yellow Peanut Eminem. And R.L. Stine, who writes Goosebumps or wrote Goosebumps, is the well-known children's book author who wrote the jokes on the Bazooka Joe gum wrappers. The Google trend, where mystery is the favorite genre within a state book genre, and that is California, believe it or not, California. Ooh. And I think you have all the airport codes now. And if we didn't get to your call, I do apologize.
We didn't get MSP.
Oh, we didn't get MSV. Wait a minute. Yeah, that's New Orleans. Sorry. Thank you very much. And so, yes, anyway, if we didn't get your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Thanks to Lori Fisher. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And, of course, thanks to Joanne Marr for handling important phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody. Have a wonderful Memorial Day. Please join us next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Thanks, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.